We're going to start off this morning with connection with God, and actually vice versa as well, God connecting to us, and where His heart is in that. And I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with this. God wants to have a deep connection with us. I don't know how you feel about this worship this morning, but man, I felt connected. It really felt like the Holy Spirit was working in me this morning and just feeling that closeness to God this morning. But how well He knows us, about how well He's been with you over this period of your life. Some of us are 10, some of us are 60, and everyone is walking their own way with Jesus. He's made you very special in your own way. And let's read in, let's read in Isaiah 49, verse 15. To 16. We're going to have Grace on Annette this morning because my verses was a little bit mixed up. So let's see how we go. Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for a child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on my hand. Ever before me is a picture of Jerusalem's wall in ruins. And God, He, in my translation, I just want to put it this way. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. And He, even before you were born, He already knew about you. He already knew what your name was going to be. And He's longing for that connection. He can't wait for that moment that you come out of the womb so that He can start having a relation. I even think before you even are born, He's having a connection with you. So that is that. Okay, now we're going to... The connection that I want to make this morning, and that's the difficult part, is the connection that I want to give over from God Himself. And I just want us to read this part quickly. John 14, verse 23. And Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." So we have a connection in the sense of we've got God, we've got Jesus, and we've got the Holy Spirit. God and Jesus has had a connection since forever. And I just wanted to start off with that. And then we're going to move back to this part. So this is going to be a little bit more of how we know connection. So some of us, we know each other. Some of us, we don't. So if I go to my dad and I say, "Morapa, uchandet," we already have a connection. Who don't I know yet? I don't know this lady. So I will just walk past and say, "Hello, how are you?" And then I go. What is the difference in that connection that we've just made? There's no touch. There's no really a connecting that we have. So us as humans, we normally would have, we use touch in a way. Not always. Sometimes we will keep our distance at first and then we'll just say hi. But the next time I see you, I might just take a hand and we'll say, "Môre tani, ek is Stefan, hoe gaan dit?" And then we have a little bit of a connection the next time. Gideon, stand up. We pass that part where we just like, who's it? You know, we're already in that connection already. And that's how we as humans know connection. It's a physical connection, form of intimacy expressed through touch, proximity, strengthening emotional bonds, and fostering trust. That's how we know it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I think most of us know. I just wanted to put this in for the younger ones as well. Because sometimes we had a thing with Janelle at a point where she was wondering, how do I connect to God? Because she doesn't know Him. She's not seen Him. She hasn't had any relationship with Him whatsoever. How do you start that off? I'm not going to go into that, but I'm just trying to tell them how we know connection. And then we've got, I'm going to take a sip of water. That's part of speaking in front of people, your mouth gets dry. Okay. Emotional connection. The definition is a deep bond built on trust, vulnerability, mutual understanding, allowing us to share the innermost feelings, to feel safe, to feel trust, truly seen by others. So that is an emotional connection that happens after we've had a physical connection. Over time, physical connection and emotional connection develops vulnerability, attunement, that means to be aware of another one's emotional state, deep communication, talking and sharing above surfer level talks. So, if I can be brutally honest, me and Gideon has known each other for a couple of weeks, but we're not yet at that point where we have been sharing some innermost things. That comes a little bit later, when there's a trust that's developing. And we've got to understand, to build a relationship, you've got to have connection. Without connection, there's no relationship. Without connection, there's no relationship. So we have to have a connection. And that is God's heart, is for us to have connection with Him. I don't want to jump the gun, but I want to put that out there. Willem said to me yesterday, don't move away from your point. My point is to have connection with God. So I'm going to move back to that a lot. God wants to have connection. I got so, my keel het seer geraak when I was singing, because I've just felt that connect, that heart of God that wants to connect with you. Sometimes we feel, I don't feel like I can, because this and this I've done this week, this and this I've done that week. And probably the most important part of us connecting with Him, I didn't live in those years, but I think in the Old Testament they had a different way of connecting to God. Craig, am I right? There was a different way of connecting. I see where I've gone with that one. You're not that old. Definitely not. And I think there was a different way. Yes. It's in the facts. I didn't even have it. So I think there was a different way of connecting. And Jesus came to earth to reconcile our relationship with God. That is Jesus' main priority, was to reconcile us with Him becoming a man. Give me 5 seconds. So let's read John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His own one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the main purpose of God, Jesus coming down. I put a long verse out here. I don't think I'm going to go through everything. Just put John 1, verse 1 to 18. This was the part where I prepared, where I've had this, and then there was others coming after. Okay, let's read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses' grace, and truth came through Jesus Christ. So, and then there was another verse where he said, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who himself, God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So Jesus has the closest relationship with the Father. I mean, he's seated next to him on the throne. So Jesus is, I'm just going to put this quickly here. Jesus' connection to God. So firstly is relationship. Jesus addresses God as the Father. So even though he was sent to earth as his son, he sees God as his Father. I'm not going to read that verse. I'm just giving some points. So it's relationship, it's purpose, and it's teachings. That is what Jesus came to do. Not all of it, but this is just some of it. So the purpose, driven by love, designed to restore the relationship between humanity and God. That was the purpose. And then the teachings, we can read maybe that one, Matthew 22, verse 34 to 39. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then obviously love your neighbor as yourself. So there comes us as well. So love God, but love us as well. That's where unity comes in. Without unity, I wouldn't have experienced some things this morning that I would have had. And that's what Jesus came to do. Okay. I'm going to move on now. Okay, I just want to come back quickly to where our connection started. So we have three types of connections. We have friendship. So that is where I decide I'm going to maybe be friends with Gideon, or I'm going to be friends with somebody else at work or wherever. So that is chosen. We choose. Then we have partnership. That is where we make going into a commitment with our wife. For instance, that is a committed bond that has been put in place through God in husband and wife, where husband and wife become in one in flesh and one in spirit. And then there's family. This is connection. So I'm just trying to give you a different type of connection. So then we have family. Family provides foundational support and continuity. It's one of the first connections in life with our mom and dad and siblings, offering unconditional care and sense of belonging. So that means we belong to something. So hopefully by the time you get to of mind, you can feel belonging coming into the church as well. So that is sort of like a foundation set for life and set from God, the connection that we will have with God. Yes. Okay. Now we're going to go into the part where we have connection with God. I think this is going to be a quite a lot of reading. I've tried not to put a lot of verses in, but it's important for us to read what God has said here. So, with us connecting with God, there's three points that will help us. So obviously, you know the heart of God. He wants to connect with us. So how do we keep that up? Because a lot of the times, you know, I felt it this week, where I've been at work, and you want to connect, you don't get to it, things run past you. Your wife can make you angry, or your husband can make your wife angry, and all of a sudden you feel like you've lost connection a bit. And there's certain things that keeps us from having that connection with God throughout the day, throughout the week. So I want us to okay. Let's see. So the one is intimacy. That's the one thing that we need to have a good connection to God. So I'm just gonna open up my phone, and we're gonna go to intimacy. No, actually, sorry, we're gonna go to obedience. This is the last piece I did, so I'm not cleared up with this yet. So obedience. Why obedience connecting to God? So we've got trust and alignment. Obedience shows trust in God's wisdom. So that means that we will trust in God's wisdom. Trust the Bible. Trust what the Bible tells us. We go from the Old Testament right through to the New Testament. We trust that what is written is from God. Aligning your will with His and creating a closer, more trusting relationship. Overcoming barriers. Obeying God removes the barriers of sin and leads to a life of righteousness. So it's always good to obey God, and that's what we are busy with, obedience. And then a heart attitude. True obedience is rooted in humble, sincere heart, not just outward performance. So obviously, if I will apologize to my daughter, she might not always see what's inside here. But with God, He sees right through us. And He's asking for a good heart attitude. Okay, that John 14:23 that I read was actually for this one. That's why I'm a bit flustered. So the other thing that we're going to look at is intimacy. And that's in Revelation 3 verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. And a lot of the times when we're trying to be intimate, I mean, there's been a lot of teachings on where's the best place to do that. Obviously, quiet time where nobody's there. That's your intimate place with God. But what I'm trying to give through this verse is that He's sitting there waiting for us. He's waiting for you. And He's patient, but He's waiting for you to knock on the door and say, God, I'm here. Can we have a talk? And it sounds like it's a bit, and that's I think that's where we're losing some of it in life today, is that God is waiting for us. And it's not to how do they say it? It's not to feel, what do they say? It's not like judgment now. It's not to say, listen, you're doing that wrong. It's just how we can do it better. And that's the thing. I think that's what God wants to tell us this morning is, listen, I'm waiting there for you. My heart is not to say, well, you don't want to spend time with me last week, so I'm going to move off this week. I'll see you next week. But He's always waiting there for you. And that's why intimacy is so important. So, longing and seeking. He's longing and seeking, express a deep, thirsty, and desperate desire for God's presence. This thing that you felt this morning, that is what He wants to have with you every day, every moment of the day. He wants to draw near, abiding and friendship, fellowship, wholehearted pursuit. And wholehearted pursuit that leads to finding God. And then we've got long-suffering. This is going to be quite a verse, so bear with me. Colossians 1, verse 3 to 23. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard upon in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned from the Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And that's where long-suffering comes in, is that we may have endurance and patience. I think God knows that we need endurance. I live in this century now. I don't know how it's been in previous centuries, but I know that we do need it. Sometimes bad things happen to us, and then we need endurance and also patience to be able to go through something. My mom has always said, make a crisis a cursus. So I don't know if you get that in English. It's like, make a crisis a course. So sometimes God puts something in front of us. The quicker we learn from it, or get over it, or spend time with Him about it, the quicker we get over it. It's not always the case, but that's part of it. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, is the image of God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything we might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by the Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So that was such a big statement when I read it in Colossians. That's why I wanted to read everything, because there's so much said into that verse. And that's the part of long suffering. I mean, if we are obedient, if we have intimacy with God, and we go through this long suffering that he's been put in front of us, there's a connection there that will be easier to uphold. Is for that. And last week I read this part where God said, where Jesus said to God, "Let this cup pass me." I think he said it three times. And it was a thing of, you know, sometimes Jesus has set an example for us when he was on earth. He was man. And sometimes things feel for us that, yo, you know, can this thing pass me? But we only have so much time on this earth. Some of us will be here for 10 years. Some of us will be here for 20 years. And I don't think God wants us to let the cup pass us that is put in front of us. So I want to encourage you this morning to don't let the cup pass. But if you go through obedience, you go through intimacy and long suffering, that cup will be easier for you. And I don't know if some of us this morning has this longing for a true connection with the Father. You know, he's made us as we are. And sometimes he puts us into situations where you don't really feel up to it, or you think, no, this is not me. This is not who God created. And then God comes and he pushes us a little bit forward, or he will send a saint next to us to push us a little bit forward. I can promise you, a lot of the people that you see serving in front, at some point they thought, no, this is not me. I mean, do you see yourself 10 or 20 years ago? I don't know you that well, that long. Do you see yourself as a worship leader? Not at all. Craig, have you seen yourself leading a church 10, 20 years ago? Not. I haven't seen myself preaching. When I was in school, I was freezing, literally. I had to read everything off the paper. Otherwise, I couldn't do an oral. Because the anxiety that came with it was so intense. But God makes a way for us to be able to do things that we have not set out before ourselves. And I think it's important, and that's why we give our life to the Lord and we say, "Lord, I die in myself so that I can live for you." And there's a little bit of a time that will come in each and every one of your life if you want to have a good connection with her Father, that you will need to step out of your comfort zones and break into new territory and go into new things. Sometimes we've done certain things for a couple of years and we set in our ways a little bit. I want to land this with Psalm 139. It's another long verse, but it was so well written, and it caught my heart yesterday when I read this. I haven't read this in the past yet. This was the first time for me yesterday. And in worship this morning, I really felt the love of God and the longing of God in us. And the way he knows me, you know, he knows me throughout, from my little pinky toe to my last hair on top of my head, which is turning gray. And it's really a father love that we don't know. I think we try and there is a certain way that we know love, but I think the love that he has for us is just, we don't really get it. Let's read for Psalm 139. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my every thought when far away. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to know. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. You see, I can never get away from your presence. His presence is always there. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, I will dwell by the farthest oceans. Even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me. O God, they are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand, and when I wake up in the morning, you are still with me. O God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies take your name in vain. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who resist you? Yes, I hate them with complete hatred, for the enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting. So on verse 23, it says, search me, O God. We say that to the Lord. And know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting love. I think that last verse is something that God wants us to walk through. To say, tell me what offends you, Lord, so that I can become a better version of what you has made me to be. So that's my landing this morning. It's for me, it's that longing that God has for us to connect with us. And maybe this morning there's some of us here that feels, yo, I would love to connect with God. Maybe there's somebody that hasn't had a chance to connect with him yet. So I want us to close our eyes and let's pray. Yes, Lord, we just want to come and thank you this morning, Lord, for being our Father firstly. Thank you, Lord, for knowing us even before we've been made, Lord. You've been there through every part that we've been woven together in the womb, Lord. When we were born, when we went through our first breath, and when we went through our first heartache, when we went through our first connection with human, which probably was one our dad or our mom, with siblings. And life throws stones in the way, Lord, and there's a time that we need to endure long suffering. And then there's a time we need to be obedient. Not at time, every time. But we need to be obedient to you, Lord. We need to have intimacy with you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you are always there for us. You're always there to be able to have intimacy. When my wife doesn't want to speak to me, maybe, Lord, you're always there that I can speak to you, Lord. And my prayer this morning is just that we will not fall into a time of coming to church and then connecting with you and then being disconnected from you for the rest of the week until we hear on a Sunday again. I think that is what your heart is as well. The Father wants to spend it every day. And help us, Lord, to use this ingredients that you've given us, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, Jesus that came to reconcile us with the Father. Love that is around us. While we have our eyes closed, though, is there anybody that feels like they give their life to the Lord this morning, that has never had the chance? Just raise your hand. Anybody that feels that they want to have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit this morning, that feels they want to connect with God, raise your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Can I ask the worship team to come play one more song? Sorry, Craig, I don't know what the time is. Can we? Yes, you can share. And then those people that raise their hands, if you're able, I really feel like I want to pray for you this morning. But let's pray in a group. So we're going to do, after Craig has shared, I want us to do one more song. That holy, holy. And then we're going to pray there at the back. And then, yeah. And then I'll give to Craig.
Don't go. They say never try and add anything to the preach, but God highlighted something in me, and I just want to share what I got out of that is when I try and, you know, when somebody gives a message and they give points, I always look for the anagram in that. How can I remember that? Because I want to be able to take that with me, and I haven't found a good way of having it, like a good note system that I can refer back to, so I try and have anagrams and try and remember it. And Stefan spoke this morning about obedience, intimacy, and long-suffering. So what's the anagram? Oil. And in the tabernacle, you know, they had the oil poured out, and the priest would have the oil poured on him. And that's like a way of positioning yourself to receive that oil and to go into the holy place, to go into the holy of holies. It's to have that intimacy, have that obedience, have that long-suffering, to position ourselves for the oil, position ourselves for that, for the Holy Spirit infilling. Maybe you want to ask